You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, Gene Johnson. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show.
Yes. So it's your music. It's your speed.
When you're dancing with your creepy mom, this is the song you want to be dancing to.
Yes. Well, and
then bring her back.
And, well, she is his dream lover.
Yes.
Oh, she is his dream lover. Yeah. From that last scene. That was his dream lover, yeah. His dream mother.
And he also dreamed about Miss Watson. He had a dream to remember the Miss Watson thing.
Yes.
Welcome to the Bates Motel After Buzz After Show. We are here for the season finale. Is that Lemieux doing
this? Lemieux is crooning.
Some harmonies.
Sounds remarkably like a dog has been run by a car.
Thank you for joining us.
Coming from Joe Sanfilippo about singing, that's
rough. That's rough. How bad that is.
Thank you for joining us for the season finale of the Bates Motel After Buzz After Show. Both season finale for us and the season finale for Bates Motel. What a wonderful, wonderful, lovely show. I'm joined, as always, by everyone, including me, first of all. I've been gone for 2 weeks. By Dua Casey.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Dua. Joe Sanfilippo.
Nice to be here with you guys.
And Nando Velasquez.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming. And thank you for coming, Joe Sanfilippo.
Yeah, bam, yes. Back together again.
Thanks for
again.
Coming back in.
And the silver tones of, Steve Lemieux.
There he is.
Yeah.
Fully out of tune, of course.
Yeah, man. So, that happened.
Yeah, it happened.
Bates Motel. This is a good series. This is a great season. What a spectacular ending, by the way. We've been speculating so long about when are we going to get the turn, when are we going to get the answers. And, I mean, what a, just a great job of doing, you know, this origin story, which we've all talked about in love. We all know what's going to happen to Norman. We all know what's going to happen to Norma. But to see it, like, see how it happens and when it happens over these last two seasons has been just fun to watch. And then we also get this really cool story of the town and the weed trade and lovely characters like Alex Romero. And it's just been a wonderful season. I'm really, really, really love what I saw so far. It's my first impressions. What do you think, Dua?
I loved it. I thought this ending was so good. And you could almost tell that they wrote it before they were signed on for season 3. So this, in a sense, wrapped up and tied up a lot of loose ends.
You're right. Could have been the end of it.
It could have just been the end of it, and it would have ended, you know, really nicely and then just left us to, you know. I just thought it was just so well done, and it's so genius, and I'll get into that just a little bit later with, you know, the decision that they made towards the end with how they wanted to do that. It was smart on so many different levels.
Very much so.
I thought that, you know, I thought that everything was great.
Right. We'll talk about that last sequence. There's a lot happening. Actually, that last 5 minutes, you know, including what happened in the woods. We'll get into that. We'll dissect that as well as everything leading to that last scene. Joe, what do you think of the episode?
I loved it.
And the season, for that matter.
For me, you know that my love of Vera Farmiga runs deep.
I haven't heard that.
I may have mentioned in the past. I'm not sure. I may not have mentioned.
You can always refresh my memory.
I feel that Vera Farmiga wins acting.
Yes.
I think all of it.
I've heard that.
I think she is the most talented actress. I think she blows my mind every week. Mm-hmm. And it's such a privilege and pleasure to watch her. She never disappoints. It's just unbelievable. Watching her is such a joy.
Yeah.
And the rest of the cast is fantastic. And it's just, it's so nice because the level is so high that if everybody else was on any other show, they'd be the killer. But because Vera's there, she's the stone cold killer.
Right.
Yep. I'm just a huge fan. I love what they did. And I love the, like you said at the end, that wrap up was terrific. Could have been the end of the show. It's a great setup for season 3. And it's goodbye to the boy. It's goodbye to the boy that didn't know, and it's goodbye
very
to the
so.
Mom that could pretend she didn't know. I guess she could still pretend because he passed the lie detector test.
Well, there is that, and I'll get to your thoughts, Nando, but there, you know, Entertainment Weekly asks that same question. Is this goodbye to Norman? The answer is yes. I mean, the Norman sweet little
it's over.
Norman
yeah,
Reno
that's done.
Is done, and this is birth to the Norman Bates that we know from the Psycho movies, and to see how this continues and how he ultimately takes care of his mother, you know, in all ways.
And now we see why. Because she did the murder, well, and maybe in his head. So he's got to punish.
We'll get to that.
Very interesting.
Nando?
Yeah, I echo everything that you guys have said about this finale. It's really, really amazing. You know, what I think is also interesting is the relationship with Norman has changed, but also Dylan has taken a major turn. In fact, they've almost switched roles in a weird way. In a little odd way. I mean, her telling Dylan, "I love you."
Yeah.
Early on in the episode when she realized Dylan rescued Norman. That really touching scene out by the pond when she was talking to Dylan about going to Montreal, and Dylan starts to act like, oh, typical, you know, Dylan. All of a sudden she's like, "I bought three tickets." And
you bought me a ticket?
Yeah, you bought me a ticket. Yes. It was kind of interesting how Norman's kind of grown up in a way, and Dylan's kind of gotten to be the little kid that gets his mom back in a way.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very touching scene. I think two of us in here might have teared up. I'm not saying which two they were.
But they were Joe and Joe.
They were Joe and Joe.
Yeah. I did not cry.
Blubbering like a baby.
No, it was some great stuff. And I just also want to just give, you know, all props to Carlton Cuse and, I'm blanking on this co-creator.
Carrie.
I mean, this was a master class in sort of storytelling and script writing. I think this as a finale, we talk about, you know, season finales, and usually season finales end with a bang, an explosion, or a murder, or something crazy. And this kind of, like, solved, you know, it got rid of all the Nick Ford stuff, you know, up top. And then we resolved the Zane thing in the middle and got really to Alex Romero's true nature as he's sort of the
no
true
holds bar, that guy.
He's peacekeeper in the town.
Yeah.
Because his job is to, as Joe says, keep the ish in
the
horse.
The proverbial ish in the horse.
And, but we really just sort of weaved in, and we closed, very artfully closed this loop between Norma and Dylan, and had some reconciliation there, and a real genuine moment between mother and son, as dysfunctional as it may be, and that family is sort of back together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Norman really just realizing that the realization that it was him that did that, and him not being able to live with himself, and then be able to come full circle and give himself that psychological break, so see it really manifests itself by realizing it wasn't him, that it was his mother. He's trying to protect him, and don't tell anybody. He's like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. And to see that thing birth, I mean, that have all that story accomplished in 44 minutes was just a masterclass.
Genius.
Yeah,
it's
very, very
so,
good.
So good.
To wrap up this entire season, which was a lot going on. And it's just, you know, doing a lot of after shows and doing some other shows which may not do as well with the storytelling falling. but and others. But,
oh my goodness.
Joe, not gonna.
We spent every podcast talking about this. Every
no,
other
but,
one,
but it's really a pleasure to see some really great storytelling.
Well, it's such an interesting time. I think, you know, we talked about this over and over. The golden age of television, the post-secondary golden age, whatever the current term
is. There's an official word that came down.
Tertiary golden
age.
It's the third wave golden age. Whatever. I think there are some. It's interesting to me how uneven TV is. There is some amazing television, and there's some really, really, really good. And it's glaring when you're not. Shows like Bates and Mad Men, they take storytelling to this artful level. You got to trust your writers, you trust the showrunners, you trust people who are creating something unique. And so then when you see something on network that is so repetitive and serialized and been done before, it's doubly boring. Because there's so much good stuff being done, and so it's really a treat to work with a show like this. You can actually sit and talk about because there's something to talk about.
Yep,
very good stuff. So let's talk about this episode. So we open where we left off, which was Dylan killing. Now, what's some debate whether or not Nick Ford was dead?
Oh, Nick Ford was dead
for a second there, but he's very dead.
Yeah,
your face doesn't do that thing.
That's one thing I will just say. If I want to really poke holes in anything that could, he's a pinprick to poke little tiny holes into something, is that, you know, Nick Ford's gigantic drug empire toppled very quickly.
They're people. They're not the coke people.
Right. Well, this just the death of Nick Ford. Everyone just starts raiding. The guys all bug out and start raiding his safe, and that's it. It's like Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. That's it.
Well,
like,
they're weak people. They should have been raiding the fridge. That's what you're saying.
I think that
after all that fuss over Gil,
this is all new.
Gil,
This is all new. This is all, I mean, these guys are, they're running, I mean, the Weed Runners are a different universe from Coke Run. I mean, you're talking about like billions of dollars versus a few million dollars. I mean, it's a very different universe. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're not as cutthroat. They're not as bloodthirsty. They're not as, you know, and maybe this is, and again, since none of us are actually smugglers.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, what expertise do you have this
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
This is an extrapolation based on a complete lack of knowledge and mostly based on what I've seen on television. So maybe not to be taken all that seriously. But maybe to rationalize, I would say that they're smuggling weed, so it's probably not that big.
There. I was saying instead of raiding the safe, they should have been raiding the fridge. Dude, well, it's just the weed.
Oh man!
Oh, that's funny.
So I mean, I agree. And then, we go and we see that we see Sheriff Romero, you know, come to the aid. And I love the idea of I love the buddy cop movie of Romero and Dylan like taking down the weed cartels or whatever.
I really like the choices Dylan made because there would be a temptation to kind of have Dylan chasing him and doing, but I like the way that they made him very, very other. They made him very separate, and Romero told him, "Hey, stay here. Your job is to do what I tell you. Just stand here. Don't move."
Yeah, this was really Romero's episode to shine. He was a badass. He was no holds bar. He, you know, ended up getting his revenge. Hmm. He was just so good.
This was very reminiscent of last year's season finale. He seems to be the person that ties everything together. Yeah. I mean, he also, that was a big episode for Romero last season too, and he of course covered up everything that went on to protect the family.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, this is the first time we really get a sense of, you know, Nestor talked about here when he was sitting right here in this chair. I think I was sitting there.
And I was sitting right over there.
You were sitting right over there. no, but I remember, you know, we talked about, you know, is Nestor's, what is that? What is Sheriff Romero's motivation? What is his thing? Is it, and he is the proverbial peacekeeper in the true sense of the word. Like, he understands what it takes to make this town work, and he understands the money and the economic value that this weed business brings in as long as it stays in check. And I think he had the balance going right. Things got out of that balance.
Zane was out of balance. We're not back in balance. We have a vacuum now.
But Dylan will hopefully step up and fill that vacuum and consolidate both weed businesses. And, you know.
Well, that's if Dylan wants to do it, A, and B, is able to do it. Because
that's a good, interesting way to talk to maybe get into season three, because someone's going to come in. Like Romero said, someone's going to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, power abhors the vacuum. Yeah. It will not tolerate.
What I thought was really interesting when Romero said it at that point was also he said he wants someone there who has to understand the rules. The rules are what make it possible for us to live together in a peaceful manner.
Absolutely.
And I think it's really interesting for two reasons. I think it's interesting that this is the law. This is the sheriff of the town, and he's not saying someone needs to understand the law. Mm-hmm. Someone needs to understand the rules.
You're 100% right. Yeah.
And then the second thing that I think's really interesting is, I don't know, that just felt like such a line in regards to Lost. It felt like another throwback to Lost with the hatch. I it's Carlton Cuse, so you know those little references. But really, there were a lot of rules when it came to that island and doing the number sequencing and everything like that. So I'm not trying to dissect every single thing into like, it's a Lost thing. But for some reason, that could really explain what the island in Lost was about. So it almost makes me wonder, like, what other comparisons this you know White Pine Bay has again to what they created to the island? Yes,
Dua.
Without being mythical, without getting all mythical like Lost.
Well, one thing is worth pointing out with regard to Sheriff Romero is what he chooses to prosecute and what he chooses not care about. I mean, there were, you know, Nick Ford was killed, Zane was killed, Zane's sister was killed. All these people are murdered, but we're not investigating that. We don't care about that. We've got stories for that, but we do care about whether or not Norman killed
Blair Watson.
Yeah, Blair Watson, Ms. Watson.
Well, because this is about justice and not about, like, he put
the weed business exists over here, but the law still applies to everybody else.
Sure.
And that's an interesting dichotomy, but it seems like Sheriff Romero really does have a very good handle on what is acceptable and what is not.
Well, I like the idea of that the weed business does exist over there. It's very important to the town for a lot of reasons. I'm not going to go in and shut down the weed business. I've got to just keep the peace. I've got law to enforce here. I've got to make sure these guys aren't causing
trouble. But it's not the Wild Wild West, and that's what I think is interesting.
He's there to enforce that.
Yeah,
keep
that's
the,
rules are still the law still applies to everybody else. Mm-hmm. If you're in the weed business and you do something to somebody else in the weed business, then we apply the rules. But the law applies to everybody else.
And of course, if you are not the reason why he wants Dylan is, you know, better the devil you know than the devil you don't. So when someone comes in and he has to contend with a whole nother Zane or anyone like a Zane, then that's big trouble.
Absolutely.
Dylan was really forthcoming. At the very, very beginning of the episode, Dylan is walking across the street. Sheriff Romero drives up and he's like, I just killed Nick. Like, he's very, very open. I think that Sheriff Romero knows that Dylan is an open book.
Right.
I also think that there were two things that happened that were so... There were just such... I felt like the show went for the simple answers that were just brilliant. The fact that Zane killed his own sister.
Yeah.
That's huge. Hmm. I did not see that coming.
No.
And yet, when I look back, I'm like, that is such an obvious...
He's so distrustful of everybody, and so paranoid that he didn't fall for the trap that they set for him anyway.
And also, Romero kills Zane.
Perfect.
Like, oh, and the line that he gave. What was that line?
Remember I told you I'd burn you down?
Yeah, yep. Remember what I said?
I'm a man of my word.
Yeah.
Yes. That was a cheering moment because Zane was
so
such
good.
An a-hole. But I will say this about Zane. You know, we all thought Zane's such a big old dummy. Zane's not so dumb. Like, he's not so dumb, because when Dylan came up there to kill him, he was, like, ready for him.
Yeah.
You know, just knowing, like, give me your gun, I don't trust you, whatever, see you later, I'll take your clip on the way out, thanks, pal. And then when Jody's like, come home, Zane, he's like, okay, cut the lights. He was ready, even though it didn't work out for him.
Yeah.
He wouldn't just walk in like, hey, sis, you know, and get ambushed. So,
yeah.
I mean, Zane, for all of his craziness, he wasn't just a complete idiot.
Yeah. And Romero was quick. I mean, you could tell as soon as everybody was dead, he was like, all right, this is a story.
Ready?
He was like, bada boom, bada bing, bada bing. Like, it was all done.
Yeah, done
it's
this
not
before.
The first time he wraps up
first rodeo.
A situation.
Yeah. Mm. So then the other subplot we've got, obviously, is, you know, so they find Norman. Norman has had a really, really rough time in the box. Like,
and
it's also very much, it's also a great way to really sort of accelerate. You laughing at that old joke?
I know. It's an oldie. It's an oldie.
It's an oldie. Almost
classic.
A goodie.
Makes me happy.
Almost a goodie.
No, but yeah, it's a great way to accelerate this sort of Norman psychosis thing, because we've seen Norman sort of be gently pushed over the edge, or these, we know he blacks out, we know, you know, he gets angry, we know his things, but like, to have him in that box, that's super traumatizing.
Yeah, if we've had a psychopath if we've had a psychopath walking on a proverbial tightrope for a long time, this is a ball peen hammer that someone threw at his head, and he might have fallen off.
He is very vicious.
How do you make him break?
Over the edge. Exactly.
Put him in a box.
Put him in a box. he did break, and he did see last week, which I was here to talk about, what you guys did. We did finally get the answer. Norman did have sex with Amdua. Mm-hmm. Have sex with her.
Wait a second. Are you sure?
Okay.
I don't feel it.
I just want to say that it's the boys that bring this up. It's not me.
No, I just so no, it's okay. So
I have a question for you.
I was wrong. Are you ready?
Semen just was not only in the boat. That's all.
Yeah. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
All right, because I want to continue this trend. Did Norma really have sex with her brother?
Yes.
Great Dylan.
Yeah.
Do that you believe?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe that.
I believe that.
Even with no semen proof.
I believe it.
And the reason, and I'll say why later. The reason why I bring that up.
But did Norma have sex with Michael Vartan?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
She said she tried.
But who tells her son
I tried to have sex with that man?
Well, but the thing is,
your pot roast.
Wait a minute. So it's so funny because they had sex, right? It's
almost
like she was telling her.
She took her panties off. That was close enough.
Like her lover that she didn't, you know. And I tried to have sex with, but we didn't have sex. Like she had to lie to her son because it would have been.
So you're saying they did have sex, but she lied to Norman?
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
But that's why I wonder if she. That's why I wonder she's willing to lie about stuff like that.
No.
I mean, is there still a little mystery perhaps about Dylan?
No, I think not at all.
They did it.
I think
okay. Well, I'm so. We see all, so we see that the he's in the box. We see that we finally solved the mystery of what happened with Miss Watson in all ways, shape, and form, which we kind of all knew at the end of season one that happened. And we kind of threw doubt, maybe it didn't happen, and now we knew what we always knew, which is, oh yeah, of course, he's Norman Bates. He did it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was also a very great, some really good storytelling there, because at the end of season one, we're like, of course, Norman went in there, he did it, he killed her. But we spent an entire season two going like, well, wait a minute.
Maybe he didn't
do it. So that was really, and then of course Dylan finds him. He seems to be normal, and then he is really has a very eerie, cold acceptance of sort of who he is. He initially tries to talk to his mother about it in a, mm-hmm. in a very classic Norman-Norma conversation, which in which Norman tries to open up to her. Mm-hmm. And Vera says, Norma says basically,
tell me about your dreams later. It's fine. Just push it down. Push it down. Push it down.
Push it down.
Push it away.
Book of Mormon, Joe.
It's a Book of Mormon.
Turn it off.
Turn it off.
Like a light switch.
Or like Frozen. Or Frozen. Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
So yeah, but very much like push it down. Don't talk about it until Norman just realizes he knows who he is. He's a very mm-hmm. cool, calm, very calculated realization of who he is. And he prepares to do the worst to himself. He prepares to kill himself. He makes his list to organize his room, finish the sparrow, the apple pie. He's to talk to mother, talk to Emma.
Nice little to-do list.
Which was a great scene, by the way. It was such a sweet scene.
It was a sweet scene. By the way, organize his room.
What a nice boy.
He's got the dog and the lamp.
You got to put a bow on the whole thing. You got to make sure everyone knows that you were very carefully doing it.
Bow. But there's a dog and a lamp. What? How much organizing needs to...
The dog needs to go in the thing.
He's killing himself. Yes. He just wants to make sure that everything, you know... I thought he was so organized in that...
That list.
Yeah.
Very good penmanship, too, by the way.
Oh, really well written. Very well written. And, you know, I got to say, it was a very interesting scene with him and Emma. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. But it was such a... It was one of those bizarre moments when I was trying to explain it to my wife. And then and when, in explaining the scene... You're like, okay, only in the context of the show does this scene not sound insane.
Right.
Like, listen, I love you. We want to welcome you to our family. And here's the thing. It's just that my mom banged my uncle, and that's who my older brother is. And that's what we couldn't tell you.
But out of all the secrets that they had.
So many secrets.
He gives away the biggest, hugest one. Which
or at
I thought
least
was
the most
really...
damaging to everyone who isn't him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but that's when they started keeping secrets from her. That's when it started.
Yeah.
It was, you know, Norman was really open towards Emma, but when that happened, Dylan, you know, he couldn't say anything. That's when he started keeping things from Emma. He always tells Emma everything. And then, you know, with the kidnapping, of course, Norma didn't want to. Norma was like a teenage girl when she was walking up the steps with Norman.
Always
and she's like, Emma's quitting. So, you know.
I don't know. Boys supposed to do Norman. I mean, God, again, very funny. Good at acting.
See, just lies. Uh-huh. She just lies to her. She's like, well, Emma's quitting. And I mean, I guess it makes sense. Yeah, I'm lying to her right now. Right. But,
what are you going
to
do?
What's he going to do about it?
Speaking of Norma, I do want to touch on the Christine storyline, which we kind of wrapped up. We had all kinds of speculation about the true nature of George and Christine and what they what they're really up to and how and what.
And it's funny because it turns out that Norma was the one that was like vindictive, and they were fine.
And they were fine. It turns out they were really just, you know, I mean, maybe we'll.
Well, no, she's getting vindictive now. She's like, we're having the mayor over tomorrow. We'll see what happens to your seat.
We thought that there was always some ulterior motive to maybe the two of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, George really liked her, and Christine really wanted to be her friend. And I thought that was a great scene in the supermarket. I was really hoping for a Norma meltdown.
Do you think that's the end of Christine and George, though?
Absolutely not.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, cool.
But the bypass
is back on for sure, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
because Nick was the guy who was the only guy who actually knew how to wield power that was against it.
Yeah.
Norma's seat is gone, most likely, right?
Well Nick's gone. Nick was the guy who ensured that.
Yeah.
She
was going to have the seat.
Yeah.
When the mayor is relieved now, like the mayor can finally do what he wants. And,
yeah.
Well, now this might be like a. Does Norma know that Nick Ford is dead yet? Has that been passed on?
That's a good question. Well, I'm sure she knows.
I think at this point she does know.
She must know at this point. By the time they do the polygraph, she has to know all.
You know what? Chances are she probably knew when Dylan rescued Norman.
Yeah. Does Norman even know that Nick Ford is dead? Because Norman was in the box.
Right.
Like, I'm sure they briefed them like in the hospital. I'm sure somebody must have told them.
Huh.
Somebody.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how important that is to.
Well, I mean, I would imagine. Yeah, the story. I guess we can expect that whatever is going to be common knowledge, they know. You know, I mean,
Christine know when she started being a bitch to Norma in the supermarket.
Yeah, no more protection for you.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like the resolution of the Christine family storyline. I mean, talking about all of our resolutions.
You are a train wreck.
Yes, I love it. Like I said, I was really hoping to get one last, Norma meltdown. Like, well, you're a train wreck. Like, you know, one more like in one of those. But we didn't. She just kind of took it.
Mm-hmm.
And then explained it to, we talked about explaining to Norman. Well, I haven't, you know, I don't know what happened. She got mad at me.
Yeah, that was actually a very mature way of handling it for once.
Very
for her.
Much so. Mm. So anyway, jumping back into Norman and his list and his things to do. You know, he organized the taxidermy, cleaned up the taxidermy. He finished the sparrow, which it turned out to be for his mother.
Mm-hmm. Very symbolic.
It's very symbolic. But beforehand, he wanted to spend some time with her. And he wanted to have one last nice evening with her. And he made some apple pie. They made apple pie together. Mm-hmm. And then they put on a little dream lover. Had a nice little dance, like when they were kids.
Very creepy. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just the way. It's just really interesting to think of the way if Norman, to get inside Norman's head, which would be scary, but to get inside Norman's head to think, like, these are the things I have to accomplish before I go. Mm-hmm. One conversation with Emma, a nice little day with my mother, organize my room, sort out my taxidermy, and then I'm just, boom, good night. Like, that's, you know, it feels like there's a longer bucket list than that, but not for Norman Bates, you know. But let's talk about this scene. So they were, you know, a little close dancing and slow dancing there. And, I mean, we talk about their, you know, sort of incestuous nature, but, you know, was that touching or creepy? How did you feel about that whole scene there, Dua?
I think that right now with the way the relationship has just evolved, I think that right now it just seems normal.
Yeah.
It's just the way, you know, it's just the way it is. You know that, you know, with Norma's kind of like history and kind of like she doesn't know how to make that distinction in that line. I just, you know, I thought it was all very sweet. And I don't know if it's just because it was the season finale and I know that we're not going to be seeing it again. But it didn't seem, aside from the time that she kisses him on the mouth.
Well, we'll get to that.
We're talking about the other scene where they're dancing. She has boundary issues in general. I mean, she just doesn't have.
But once you are aware of that and you know and you just accept that that's who she is, then everything else seems nice because for her it doesn't seem weird. She's just being close with her son.
But that's what's interesting about that night, too. It's like Norman wanted to give her the night she wanted to reminisce and make it like old times. And he was willing. And in the past, we've seen him try and push her away. Mm-hmm. I kind of remember when she was trying to get Norman to sing Mr. Sandman a while back. And Norman was like, no. And she's like, you know that song. And then she finally got him to sing it. Mm-hmm. And this was all Norman inviting himself, like getting, you know, inviting her into his space.
Yep.
Yeah. And giving her exactly the dream. The dream, the memory that she wants.
Yep.
Before he decides to go off and finish himself.
Very much so. The wonderful trick also that they've played on history that they've able to accomplish, the writers, is making us really, really care and have some real touching emotional moments with this absolutely dysfunctional family. Mm-hmm. So, you kind of root for Norma and you empathize with her and her love for Norman. And you root for Norman and his love for his mother. And then the scene, of course, the scene that we love with Dylan. And
so
Norma.
Good.
And they're back to the families back together. And, they're all killers.
Well, she and Norma.
There's that. But aside from that, they're a sweet bunch.
Norma cried a good amount during this episode.
Sure.
Not once did it ever seem overacted, but the writing in that scene with Dylan was amazing when she was like, you're beautiful, and it's a miracle that someone like you could come out of something like that.
Yeah.
And Dylan, even he was showing no emotion, but they just hugged. It was just so sweet. They spent a whole season just being mad at each other.
I gotta, you know, the observation here to make about Norma in this episode is, I mean, you know, there's no real crazy Norma here. There was no real, like, nutty, crazy, irrational Norma. There was very much a mother who is very much, you know, loving her kids. She's nurturing the whole way through.
Yep.
Was very remorseful about what happened with George to Christine. Felt remorse and scared about what may happen to Norman in his lie detector test. Accepted Dylan's, when Dylan says he needs help, it's your son. She didn't go, leave me alone, Dylan. Yep. She very much was like, okay. And then, you know, when Norman came back from the box, the way she was there in the hospital, she told Dylan she loves him and all that stuff. And then all the way through the very end, when she chases Norman out to the woods, that was a very touching, loving scene. You know, except for the kiss, but
The way it was blocked too. Mm. We talk a lot about that. The way that she, you know, she was on her knees. He kicked her. She was down on her knees, and so like the position of power and the way that she nurtures and just grabs the back of his neck to kind of bring him back. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was blocked really, really well.
Yeah, no, the blocking was out.
And then he's like, okay, mother, for you, I won't kill myself. For you, I won't kill myself. So that poses the question in future episodes and future seasons, how is that going to start building resentment when he's doing these bad things, and now he's there for her.
Well, let's get into it. Let's get into that.
Well, I mean, the other question is, yeah, I mean, you know, so that scene in the woods was
deep.
Deep, yeah. and again, Norma Vera Wynn's acting, but it's those moments where I love what she brings to it, because there another actress might throw that kiss out there and make it something different, but for her, she's got so much need behind everything she does. Mm-hmm. It feels like a natural extension, albeit a very creepy natural extension of her character. It feels like she finds the way to make that feel totally motivated. Again, Vera Farmiga wins.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm not sure that the actress throws that kiss out there. I mean, I bet that kiss wasn't on the page. I bet that kiss was not on the page like that.
I'd be interested to find out. I bet you
it was not.
You know, and it just and it flowed. So it's a kiss, and then off the cheek, and then the whole everything she does flows, and it never gets bogged down. She always I love it.
And she makes it seem so effortless. It's so funny, because you seem like you're just gushing, but to do this well and not make it seem overacted or forced is really hard.
People have I think people get mad at me because I say too much that division. It's watching someone this good work, we take it all for granted, but you can't. It's so fucking good. Flipping. I didn't say the better.
Okay.
I caught that.
No. I dropped out the middle part. But what he says at the end there, when this is what's interesting to me, when Norma comes in, he psychologically projects Norma into the polygraph test, and she says, "You didn't kill." By the way, I love the way she plays his version of Norma, just a little bit different, a little more fun, a little more jovial, maybe a little bit younger version of her.
A little spunky.
Yeah, right? We're having a good time. She says, "No, you didn't kill her. I did." And so that's interesting on a couple levels. Number one, from his point of view, does he now have to punish her? Is that how we set up Norma getting killed by Norman eventually?
Right.
Because now he on some level, believes that she did this. Second question would be, is that metaphorical? Is she metaphorically now responsible for, like you said a moment ago, for everybody he kills from now on, because she prevented him from killing himself?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, so now is he going to get resent? No, I just want to say something really quickly. Last episode, Sanfilippo, we were talking about.
What did
I do? No, you were saying once Norma finds out that Norman
killed. That's the last question.
Yeah, that Norman killed Miss Watson, she can no longer stand behind him because it will make her unsympathetic.
Right.
So what they did here was
beautiful.
Norma now believes
he passed the polygraph.
That he passed the polygraph.
So he didn't do it.
Right.
Exactly. So she can now still live in this, you know, ignorant, I'm
bubble.
Just like a nurturing mother.
Yeah. Well, Norman doesn't. He doesn't
so
know what he does.
He passed the polygraph.
Yeah.
And that's what she's going to say.
We're going to hear that 30 times next season.
Well, so, you know, I want to get back to the woods, because I think that some of the things that she said in that speech were just so telling in terms of the turn here. Mm-hmm. The most telling thing being to her, like, we're the same person.
Yep.
We're the same person.
If you kill me. I'm sorry. If you kill yourself, I'll die.
Yeah.
Yes. You know,
I'll die right after.
We're like the same person. And that whole thing, like, you know, he says, I'll stay for you. It's, you know, Norma knows how to appeal to Norma's nature. But again, that, you know, being the guy who coming out of the box, already having the blackouts, being where he is, already pushed over the edge. This last thing, a guy who's going to go kill himself and then has this conversation with his mother that says we're the same person. I can just see
it's
fusing, like right there in that moment, and then, you know, literally sealing it with a kiss, like that. All that close talking they were doing to each other, and it was so intimate and so like we're the same, and I love you, and I love you more than anything.
And he's nuts. I mean, he had the crazy eyes, and he's like, I don't mean to hurt you. He's like, I'm bad. This is what I do. I'm, you know.
And I just feel like that just again metaphorically and. That kiss personified the transference of, you know, it's almost like, you know.
I completely agree with you. And
putting
it sets
her soul
up.
Yeah, into
her
him.
Soul
absolutely.
Into him.
And if it's and if it's such a joining, then maybe, you know, you can see him later on down the line going one of two ways to kill her eventually. Is he going to kill her as a punishment for killing other people that she didn't actually kill? Or is he going to kill her as a way of attempting to kill himself? If we're the same person, if I kill her, will that actually kill me? Will this all be over?
Mm. Right. Yeah. It's it. So that to see that was some really good work. Anything else to add on the woods, Nando?
On the woods, I mean, I think what's really interesting about this episode, we look at Norma. She's definitely grown in this episode. We've already said no major meltdowns other than screaming after Norman when he was running off.
Norma!
That was about the other time we both made a little laugh when she there.
Like, there it is.
But what I think is really awesome about this too is this is a totally different side of Norma. She's grown up. I also definitely want to talk about her relationship with Alex, as she likes to call him this episode.
Yeah. Mr.
Alex Romero.
Did your laundry.
Yeah. But I mean, no, but she actually, just the loving way she called him Alex in this episode, I thought was really interesting. But what it just sets up perfectly is for that dream sequence to see a different, the Norma that Norman's dreaming of, saying, you didn't kill. I killed him. And I thought it was just so perfect and so beautiful because we're just so at ease with Norma this episode, just to see this is how Norman is looking at her in this dream.
Well, let's get, and those are all great points, and I, you know, let's talk about that last sequence, the lie detector sequence, which is, again, a brilliant, brilliant sequence. And, you know, you have that bit where we see the Norma that Norman sees.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that Vera Farmiga, you want to talk about her being, you know, good at acting and winning acting. Like, she was scary.
So subtle, but sweet.
I was creeped out by her like I never have. Mm-hmm. You didn't do it. I did it. And I was like, oh my God, you did it.
I love the way that scene was shot. If you see, it was just like kind of a, just up like the headshot, and it just kind of kept rotating and rotating, because you're now kind of like seeing, it's almost like in his mind. Mm. It's just kind of going around and around.
And then you see the turn happening, because of course we have that, again, Freddie Highmore, good at acting too, by the way. I keep saying that. Like, you know, no, don't, good at this acting, guy, he's doing it. Because in that scene where it's rotating around, when he's like, you know, have you, did you have sex with Miss Watson? Yes. The smile and the eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, he was really, that transformation was happening there.
Yeah.
But then finally, like, we've been wondering, how are they going to do it? How are they going to make this final transformation? How is he going to become Norma? How is this going to happen? And to see it in that scene, where he asks about who killed, did you kill? You know, and then to have Norma pop up. And then that was just amazing. But
so good.
They've done such a great job also of not being overly gratuitous with all of the Hitchcock references and the Psycho references. Visually, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But they did this one, they did the iconic, you know, pan around to the iconic, you know, picture of Norman head down, head up, you know, just like being a Psycho, a slight smile. With Vera Farmiga over the shoulder, and I've caught that too. Hmm. Like Norma's walking into frame. So over his right shoulder. She was in the shadows walking in a frame on the right shoulder.
I was looking up.
That was an incredible, like, still image.
They did another one, too. Did you guys catch it?
No, which one?
The scene after he retrieves the gun from the dresser, they show the next scene is Norma in the rocking chair, just rocking back and forth.
Oh, no.
Very slow cadence. I didn't see that. Very specific cadence. Yep.
So, anything else you want to add on that last scene, Joe?
I said my piece. I love that. I love how she played it. I love how he played it. And I think at this point, you know, like we said at the beginning, farewell to the boy, because that is the truth.
Yeah.
At that point, I think we're all being very, very. It's very clearly led to believe that he is aware that he has beaten the polygraph.
Right.
I don't think that, you know, that's the impression I got. What did you guys think? Do you think that last shot where he looks up and he's got that slight grin and he's got that maniacal look? Do you think that he's aware that he beat the polygraph, or do you think that he believes that his mom did it?
He believes his mom did it.
I think
you think he believes.
Yeah,
his mom
I don't think he got them now. No, he believes like his mother. That's why he's able to beat the polygraph.
I think actually I agree with you. I think he was actually black. It was a blackout moment for him.
He was Norma in that moment, because in that scene when he's in the hospital, like in Psycho. He's his mother, and that's why he's smiling. That's right. That was him being Norma.
It was a very Gollum moment, kind of like him talking to himself.
Very scary.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because a very Gollum-like moment, but instead of him talking to himself like a Gollum character, he's talking to his mom, because that's who he's being right now.
I wouldn't even harm a fly.
Yeah.
Last words of Psycho. So now we've solved the mystery, like, in terms of the origin story of how Norman becomes Norma. Mm-hmm. So now, in season 3 and maybe 4, we can start to begin to solve the mystery of how Norman ends up killing Norma.
Yeah.
Because he loves his mother, and we know that ultimately, matricide, as they say. Say it, Joe, in your 40s voice or whatever.
All right, fine. Matricide.
Thank you very much. Like they say at the end of the Psycho, it's the 60s actually, but still. So we wonder how now we'll get to see in season, maybe hopefully seasons 3 and maybe 4, how this matricide happens, because it's a guy who loves his mother, but we know ultimately he kills his mother, so, and becomes her. So we'll see how that happens.
So I would love to be a fly on the wall of that writer's room.
Oh man,
just made, like, how this fun. Really comes to fruition. I wonder how many different versions they have, what might have happened, what they decided not to go with.
Sure.
It's just.
Do we want to jump into some predictions for season 3?
Yeah.
And now you're after Buzz TV.
I'm going to start, actually, this one. It's not a season 3 prediction, but I will.
This better be a good one.
It's good. I predict Emmy nominations for Freddie Highmore and Emmy nominations for Vera Farmiga.
I'll take it.
Freddie Highmore did really good this episode. I will hope for the first one. But if the second one doesn't happen, I will burn down the town. That is ridiculous.
Okay. That's not
in obscene.
My town. Yeah, not in my town. I love Romero, can't you? Predictions, Tua?
Man, I love Romero. Is he just gotten sexier since he's been on this show, or is it just me?
Oh, he sat next to me, so I think some of my sexiness is on him.
Is that what that was?
Maybe.
He's pretty quick to clean it up.
Yeah. I don't think that Dylan is going to take over the weed town.
I was going to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. The only reason that I don't
you
think
said it better than me.
He's going to have to make too many decisions that are going to compromise what his character is. He's too much of a kind of a right hand man,
sure,
and a protector. So I think that somebody is going to swoop in. We're going to have some new people this next season.
We do need a town story. I mean, we have the Norman Norma story, but we do need some the towns of characters. So we need some story there, Joe.
I'm agree with Dua there. I don't think he's going to take over. I don't think he's got it. You got to have some it. I don't know if he has it. I mean, that's a tough thing to do.
I know. And he's rocking that big beard in the after show. Like he's got the lumberjack beard.
He's gotten all Dexter.
Yeah.
But I think for Norma and Norman, I think we're going to have so much tension, and I think that Norman is going to I think by the maybe the third episode by the third episode of next season I think Norman's going to know who he is. I think there's not going to be any questions. I mean he may still that whole thing may have been a break and it may have been a blackout and it may be weird, but I think by the third episode of next season he knows who he is, and I think that's going to make him a lot more interesting and dangerous to watch.
It'll be interesting to see. We know what happens when there is no Norma and Norman becomes Norma, like in Psycho. But when Norma is standing in front of him and he blacks out and he's Norma, how does that work? Like, in other words, if he's talking to his mother, he blacks out, becomes his mother. How does that work exactly? So that'll be
fun to watch.
It'll be interesting to see.
Since you see Norma talking to herself through her son,
you can see Norma making out with herself.
Oh. Nando.
Is that perfect for me? Like perfect acting win in the universe?
That's something out of Orphan Black. I like your predicting. I'm going to say, I'm going to add to it, they're also going to get a Best Show nomination. How about that?
Good.
Let's do that one for starters.
Very good. I predict that Emma doesn't quit.
Okay. Emma does not quit. Yeah. No way does Emma quit.
It was British. I didn't know Olivia Cooke was British. Where was that?
She was British. All her life she's been British.
Oh, look at you.
The rain in Maine.
Thank you so much for joining us for seasons 1 and 2. 20 episodes of Bates Motel. We love it.
In the can.
Looking forward to season 3. Thank you very much, and we will see you next year.
Woo!
Where can we find you guys?
Yeah,
where can
you find us? Thank you, Stephen Lemieux! Joe, where can you find you?
Who's driving this bus?
We can't find us anymore.
You can find me at Joe Flippo on the Twitters, JoeFlippo, or my website, Joseph San Flippo, JoseSanFlippo.com.
Oh, boy.
Say that 3 times fast.
I can't.
I'm Dua Casey. You can find me on Twitter, Dua Casey, DuaKissi. That is it. Or actually, you can find me doing Fargo later tonight, too.
Oh, look at that.
If you watch a little Fargo.
Nando.
You can find me at Comic-Con at the After Hours Facebook Hotel Party. You can find me on Twitter at Nandovel, N-A-N-D-O-V-E-L. Remember that, Nestor. N-A-N-D-O-V-E-L on Twitter and also here on other AfterBuzz shows.
Nestor will not let you into that party for sure. You can find me, Joe Braswell, at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter and Instagram. Now I can say thank you very much for joining us for the last 20 episodes. We'll see you next year.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.